Sponsors Corner, brought to you by Talk of the Game. Get your ringside spot today on advertising.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to Talk of the Game, and you're in the Sponsors Corner, and we're here to talk to you about Phantom Imaging.
PhantomImaging.net, of course, the one and only, and ThroughTheLensFilms.com.
We're also going to talk to you about Sprinkles and More, www.sprinklesandmore.com. Also, check out their Instagram, Sprinkles and More.
Nice.
That being said, let's cue up the clip and let's get the show on the road.
Sure.
Get up.
Let's go, get up!
Let's get right into it. Welcome to Talk of the Game, hosted by the dynamic duo Matt and Stefano. Sport is what we know. Well, maybe, but we'll give it a shot. It's game time.
He'll look for the space for the shot. It's four. It's Ronaldo. It's his season.
Up in front, Sidney Crosby. Scoring! Another beauty for 87.
Here's James to the line. It counts and the foul. LeBron James with a sensational move.
What's up, everybody? Yeah. You're listening to Talk of the Game, and we are back finally after missing last week's episode. Yeah. I'm Matt, here accompanied by, like always, with
Stefano, and we're so happy to be here. We're so sorry that we missed last episode, but, you know, unfortunately, things happen in life that we can't control, and we have to attend to those things, but we're here, we're back, and we are ready to rock and roll.
Yes, we are.
How's everything? Oh, we have one thing to say. We all must wish a happy birthday to my co-host, Matt Costa. Happy birthday, bud.
Thank you very much.
You know?
I'm 24.
24. To be 24.
I know.
I
feel so old being 24.
I'm exactly 10 years older than you.
Yeah, I know.
Brr.
It's crazy, eh?
It is crazy. I don't feel old. Like, 34 is not really old, if you really think about it.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
I think the perception of age has changed a lot over the last couple of years. I remember looking back before, when you think of 34, 30 years, it was, well, that's old. Like,
well,
move on with your life, do differently.
Of course. Think about it. How old was your dad? How many kids did your dad have when he was 34? I think he had two.
Yeah, probably.
Right?
Maybe even. No, he probably had all three of us by that point.
Okay. So you see, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. So see what I mean? That's why I think the perspective idea of 34 is old is because back in the day, they used to get married when they were like 19.
Yeah.
And have already five kids by the time they were 34.
Oh, absolutely. When I turned 24, my mom came over and she was talking to me. She's like, oh, how does it feel to be 24? I'm like, same as it felt like I was when I was 23. She then decided to lecture me about how when she was 24, she was living on her own. She had a kid.
Of course.
And I was like, what do you want from me? I'm not
going to be
24.
So with that being said, sports, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, of course. There's always stuff going on. It's sports, right? It's always happening.
Exactly. So we took care of the notes, but there is one thing I don't remember if I added, and that's Manny Pacquiao gave a very derogatory reference to gay people, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, the LGBT community.
Thank you.
Yes.
And because of that ridiculously stupid stunt he did, he lost the Nike sponsor ad.
Yeah, rightfully so. Nike dropped him as one of their spokespersons.
But between you and I, we both know that it's a must for Nike. Like, you can't endorse people like that.
No, you can't. You're a company that's trying to portray an image that's equal
to everyone,
to everybody, and fair rights for everybody. And when you have one of your iconic athletes going off and saying things, derogatory things that are very uncalled for about a certain community, you can't support that. You can't back that. So Nike, rightfully so, had to drop that.
And you know, funny enough that you say this, we say, oh, they had to drop it, you know, poor man. Let me just tell you how much he lost in the deal. He lost $286 million in the deal.
Yeah.
Ouch, man.
He still makes,
he's an idiot.
He still makes a lot of money, which is sad.
I
wonder how much of this is the religious factor, because he is a very religious.
Extremely.
Right?
So, but in his religion, I know that they don't classify gays and you know, any other gender. They don't.
Isn't he Catholic?
Kind,
so I think the Catholics have said the church or whatnot. But we're not here to debate.
No, I'm not debating it. No. Yeah, regardless of what he did, he was a completely stupid deal.
Yeah.
So we don't endorse it whatsoever on the show. However, the one thing I want to bring to everyone's attention is when you are endorsed by someone and they're reputable like Nike, you know, it's kind of like you have to tiptoe. You have to watch everything that you say. And that's why majority of these superstars that we see on TV nowadays, they have their own PR team that they tell them what to say.
Oh, of course, they have a PR team. You got to remember, we live in a different day and age than a lot of athletes before us. And here's kind of an idea for it. Over the weekend, Toronto hosted the All-Star game.
Yeah.
And there was the dunk competition. And everyone had their smartphones out. Everyone was recording and uploading to social media. Social media has become a part of everyone's life.
Yeah, no matter what.
It's how it is. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vine, you name it. It's part of it. Snapchat. It's all there. It's crucial being in any type of business to have some type of marketplace or share where your social media is implemented and represented.
100%.
So at the dunk contest, you saw everyone with their smartphones videotaping everything.
Sure.
I went later that evening and I rewatched the 2000 dunk competition with Vince Carter, which was one of the best of all time.
Of course.
Till this one. And you see athletes with video cameras, legit video cameras recording the dunk contest, other athletes, because they didn't have smartphones. So being an athlete now, or anyone that has any type of recognition, you have to go about your day and your thought and everything differently.
Yeah.
Because everything is scrutinized, everything is under the microscope.
Yeah, 100%. So with that being said, let's just jump right into it.
You
have something to say?
Yes.
What?
Everybody, you got to give us a follow on Twitter
at
Talk of the Game TO. That's our Twitter. You can find us there. You can listen to our episodes on Podomatic. If you search www.talkofthegame.podomatic.com, that's where we are. If you have the app, Podomatic app, you can download us there. We're also on iTunes,
nice.
So you can like and subscribe to all our episodes there. Leave a comment. You can hit us up on email too. Email us talkofthegame@gmail.com.
Yep, nailed it.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I'm enamored with the sports in general is no matter winter, summer, whatever it is, it's just everything is on fire right now.
No, of course. And it's that time of year where it's the midpoint of most seasons. Like NHL's midpoint,
exactly.
Basketball's midpoint.
So light them up. What's the first one?
So the Wild end their 8-game losing skid after firing head coach Mike Yeo and new coach Tortoretti debuted.
Yeah.
So Wild finally win after firing head coach Mike Yeo.
I don't think it had anything to do with them. I think it's just coincidence. It happened on the same night kind of
thing. It's weird.
They're just not a good team to begin with.
Well, the Wild, see, that's the thing. There's a misconception. The Wild aren't a bad team. I think it was just still coaching. Mike Yeo took them to the playoffs a few times, but they yet again lost to Chicago the last two times.
Yeah, but you can't really blame them. Chicago's
differently. You can't blame Chicago. Like they lost.
No, you can't blame Wild. Because Chicago's a super team.
Sorry, yes, you can't blame the Wild. But I guess they always say if any position in a sporting team has an expiration date, it's coaching.
Yeah,
100%. A coach has an expiration date. Mike Yeo hit his. So the new coach came in and I guess turned things around for one game. It's one game.
Okay, right? That's fine. So now, this is, a lot of people going to take it the way they want to take it, so I'll just say it as I see it. Lightning not trading Stamkos.
No surprise.
There's a lot of debate on a question, on a comment like that, because, you know, nothing is written on paper, and this is just like saying, hey, we still have interest in him.
So, yeah, general manager Steve Yzerman came out, and he released the press release saying that they have no plan to trade Steven Stamkos moving forward. He's one of their best players.
But it's also his choice, though, at the end of the season.
To not trade him?
No. It's Stamkos' choice to go wherever he wants because he'll be a free agent.
Yes. Well, of course, they're going to try to sign him. And they said that he's a key member of the team. And they have a deep playoff run because they went to the cup final last year.
Right.
They want to kind of repeat. They're not going to trade Stamkos at the trade deadline. Those kind of moves don't happen.
It'll be at the end of the season.
Because there's other teams that all think they have a chance to make a trade. So no one's going to throw anything at Stamkos.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially Tampa, right?
Yeah, of course.
The question is, what's going to happen come the off season when he's a free agent? Are they going to sign him? Is he going to walk?
No.
That's the debate.
The funny debate, I just want to quickly touch on this. The funny debate is that Toronto somehow is still in the mix on that. I'll be honest with you. I think Toronto is going to be the last decision Stamkos is going to make.
The reason why...
He's going to be on a losing team. He does. He's in his career right now. He doesn't deserve to be on a losing team because he's that good.
Yeah, he's that great, and he's in the prime of his career. And you're right. If he comes to Toronto, they're not going to be good for another 4 to 5 years.
Exactly. So that's 4 to 5 years in his prime.
That, yeah. But he's a hometown kid. He grew up watching the Leafs.
Is there any other teams that he might be interested in?
Maybe Montreal. It all depends. It all depends on who has the cap room. That's the thing. Toronto traded Phaneuf recently.
But got 9 useless players.
They got nothing in return. Yeah, exactly. They got
players. What did they get? They didn't get anything, really.
They got Colin Green. They got Jared Cowan. They got players
technically that, nothing. Just fillers.
Exactly. There's players to fill the roster. There's salary there. But they have cap space. So, again, everyone thinks, okay, Toronto's going to make a push at him because they have ample cap space to be able to afford a contract like Stamkos.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to get him or what Toronto's plan is, but that's the rumor mill.
Do you think it's off topic, really quickly before we get to the next point, do you think it's stupid that NHL has a cap instead of being like soccer where it's just wide open?
No, you need a cap in the NHL.
Because if you didn't, a lot of the smaller teams would get ruined.
Exactly. A team like the Maple Leafs, the Rangers, the Blackhawks, Detroit, Montreal, like the big,
they would have the superstar teams, yeah.
They would have the money to throw around at players. So essentially the Leafs, if they really wanted to have a superstar team,
they could
throw top dollar at any free agent, get these powerhouse teams, and go on and be super, uber successful and win.
Yeah.
And all the other teams like Florida,
they would get demolished.
They wouldn't have any chance because they can't afford to get players. So there's no attraction to them.
Yeah, exactly. And no one would go watch
them. Like, that's why they implement the salary cap now. The salary cap also works against you in many ways because players now get inflated value. Teams like Florida who have to hit the cap floor and just make it have to offer players that aren't worth $5.5 million those types of contracts. So now you have to think, if a player is going to free agency and you see a David Bolin, as an example, get $5.5 million, and a player that does better than David Bolin, let's say, I don't know, Eric Staal, for instance.
Okay.
Well, if I'm...
Very hard comparison,
yes,
right?
It's completely lopsided. I couldn't think of anyone off the top of my head that was similar. But you think of two players that... Like that. Bolin's getting 5 and Staal's getting 7. Well, if Staal's contract comes up and sees Bolin's at 5, shouldn't he be at 3 or 4, maybe even $5 million more than
him? It complicates
him,
life. Right? Yeah,
so
yeah.
It inflates players' value, which isn't necessarily good for the league.
Okay, that's fair. All right, so next. How do you say his last name? Canes?
So, Carolina Hurricanes goaltender Cam Ward out with a lower body injury that he picked up the other day.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to suck for Carolina because, again, they're that team that's floating around. They're not very good. They finished pretty poor
last
year.
They're like mid-charts.
Yeah, they're floating around. He was one of the brighter lights to their season, Cam Ward, as always. But him going out's going to hurt.
The next point is going to be, it's so funny. Everybody's like, what? How's it possible? Blackhawks rip Leafs 7-2, halt skid at 3. Guys, let's look at the real picture here. The Blackhawks are clearly ridiculous. The Leafs have no business winning 3 in a row to begin with. And the Blackhawks now ruined them
the
for
Blackhawks,
right reasons.
The Blackhawks
did you see the game?
I watched a bit of it. The Blackhawks lost 3 in a row.
Pardon. Yeah, Blackhawks. Now, if you look at, you know, if you really look at what's the deal here, the pro line deal of it, Blackhawks will beat the Leafs any day of the week. Yeah. Now, granted, they beat them 7-2 is a little ridiculous, but I saw the game because I was at home. I really did nothing. And I thought, if it's not 20-0, I'll be surprised. I think the Blackhawks just stopped after a while.
It's no surprise. The Blackhawks did exactly what the Blackhawks were supposed to do, and the Leafs did exactly what they're supposed to do and lose. This is exactly what people in Toronto want.
So are they in dead last now?
Yeah, I believe
is it confirmed?
I think they're dead last, if not tied for last, with Carolina.
Now, is Toronto stupid enough to make some kind of a run at the very end and lose
all
this momentum?
No, they don't have the talent to do it. They've set the bar so low for them. Like, they don't have talent. Like, Mike Babcock's come in and he's helped the team out with things like their power play and penalty kill, which still isn't that great. fundamentally they're better, but
they are fundamentally better. But at the end of the day, Blackhawks, is it classified that they're the best team in the NHL? Not looking at standings, just overall as a team.
You can definitely argue it, but
who in your eyes right now, is the best right now?
Right now, Washington's the best team in the NHL. They're doing crazy things. Their record's outstanding.
Now, do you think they can really make a run out of it and get Ovechkin the Stanley Cup that he he deserves?
Yeah, I think so. Right now, everything's pointing to they have the team to do such.
Although, you know how playoffs work.
Yes, it's a different game. And depending on, there's a lot of things that could change and happen. That being said, Washington does look to be the perennial team to beat. They look like they're going to be the ones to set the bar for the NHL.
Cool. Next, what's up?
Olli Jokinen shootout goal lifts Panthers past Preds on Jaromir Jagr's birthday. It was his 43rd birthday, and
I can't believe he's still playing.
Yeah, the guy's a legend. It's funny enough, he did it against his old team.
And you know,
he made the mark with the mullet in the NHL against the Pens.
Have you watched Jaromir Jagr play? He's still as deadly as he was, 20 years ago.
No, of course. He's not going to be nearly as quick and dynamic as he was, but he's still a very smart player.
He's like a Zinedine Zidane in NHL.
Yeah, he's awesome. There's no way you dislike him.
Exactly. Coyotes earn first season sweep of Habs.
Yeah. They,
Habs, what happened to them, honestly?
Carey Price. They're a team that was never that good to begin with.
It's just they had an outstanding goalie. That's what it was.
So, think about, you have a bunch of issues, but you have one thing that's really good and going for you that covers up everything
that else was a problem.
That was a problem.
But now that good thing is gone.
Yeah. So, in any other sport, basketball, if you don't have a good rotation, if you don't have a good third, fourth man, you don't have a good point guard, shooting guard, whatever it may be, you notice it. It's noticeable. Whereas in hockey, you don't need to have the greatest defense or great forward. But if you have the best player in the world who happens to be a goaltender who can fix these issues, it makes you look a lot better than what you really are.
True.
So that's exactly what happened with Montreal. And now that Carey Price isn't there, they forgot how to play hockey because they were getting bailed out all the time.
When is he coming back?
They don't know.
What happened to him again?
It seems to be any problem. But they don't know exactly what the issue is.
Okay.
At least they're not telling what the real issue is. And there's fear he might have been misdiagnosed.
Okay. So, with that being said, jumping ship, we're talking about Rousey. Ronda Rousey contemplated a suicide after the Holly Holm death. Now, Holly Holm loss. Now, she went on Oprah, of course, to say. Yeah. I think anyone, her quote was, "What else can I do if I can't do this?" Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I understand the pressure that she had being, the most deadliest athlete alive kind of deal. But she lost because her cockiness got ahead of herself. Yeah. And this is why she lost. Now, the rematch that she's going to have, and mm-hmm. I know it's going to happen, that has to be a win for her. She has to win it, or that's her career right there.
I don't know. I don't even think she should rematch Holly Holm. She should get another fight in her first.
Oh, just to
see what's what? Yeah, get another fight, get another win going. A lot of times...
Get a momentum?
Yeah, I find fighters when they lose, especially that bad, and face it, she's never really lost before.
Yeah.
It's going to be an adjustment, and there's going to be a bit of doubt in her, and a little bit of self-doubt of what she can do. And going into a fight against Holly Holm right away...
bring it all back again.
You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you are afraid you might not be able to actually win. You don't want to doubt yourself. You need to go in confident.
Yeah, you have to go, take your first match, knock the hell out of someone, and then realize that you still got it. With that being said, how come Holly Holm hasn't done any fights?
She's going to be doing one.
She is.
Yeah.
I haven't followed one.
Well, then, yeah, she's doing one in a couple weeks, I think, or a month or so.
Okay.
That being said, I think you need to be able to lose before you can win. Ronda Rousey just went on and won winning. And before you can really be a winner and a champion, you need to understand how to lose and how to come back from a loss and how to accept and adapt. Because it's way different when you lose and you're in that situation of you've lost it all and how to come back. Remember, GSP, it happened to him. He lost and he realized.
And then he came back.
I need to learn
exactly
how to be a proper champion. And not saying that Ronda Rousey doesn't, but sometimes you need to rebuild yourself after something that bad happened. Of course,
100%. So Kevin Rollins quit, comeback continues.
Quiet comeback continues.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good for him. He's making moves. He's doing things.
Nothing important. I just wanted to add it as something that we should add. Suns want more than pick four.
Markieff Morris.
What does that mean? Suns want more than pick.
So
they just want more than a draft pick.
They're gonna have to give way more than just a draft pick for him, is what the Suns are saying, especially with the NBA draft or trade deadline around the corner.
Right around the corner.
It's actually tomorrow. So by the time this episode comes out, it will have happened already.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's a couple reports the Leafs or the Raptors were gonna make some moves.
Any big ones? Because I haven't really followed their trades.
Not really. With the salary cap the way it is, it's kind of tough. If you're gonna get a big player, you're gonna have to ship whatever his salary cap is away, and you don't want to ship away too much and then you not become any lose what you are.
So you think they're just going to make quiet trades, just kind of
depth players just to get a better bench, continue working with the backcourt because you have a good backcourt. There's a report that they're interested in Tyus Young from the Nets, Brooklyn Nets. Whether that happens, to be seen, right? Like, you got to think, can the Raptors even beat Cleveland? Or even Golden State, like,
exactly,
right? Is it worth risking what you have and giving up players and draft picks to not even make it anywhere? You're probably better off in the offseason doing
this. I heard that Golden State, though, wanted to get Kevin Durant.
So there was a report that a guy from Yahoo wrote basically saying that Kevin Durant's a free agent at the end of this year, and there's potential that Golden State might be able to land him because there's a lot of players on friendly contracts. Klay Thompson's not that bad. Draymond Green's kind of came out of nowhere, surprised people, who's been fantastic. He's on a very cap-friendly contract. That being said, the NBA salary cap's also going to improve, so there's going to be a lot more money to play around with. So if Golden State were to even consider the possibility of getting Kevin Durant.
So what does that really mean?
They would be the best team in the NBA, better than any team
ever,
by a long shot. Yeah. Right? Because already between the Splash Brothers, Draymond Green, who can shoot, they're a solid team. They're a solid team all around. You got Iguodala coming off the bench, who was amazing in the playoffs last year in the finals against Cleveland. So all those things working together looks very good for Golden State. And that's another thing with the Raptors. You have more salary cap coming into play. You have four draft picks all this coming year, or I think two this year, two next year.
Yeah.
Offseason would be a great time to kind of load. And it's a good telling sign. If they can't win a first round or get out of the first round of the playoffs this year after being swept last year and losing in seven to Brooklyn,
then there's something to think about. You know,
you have to let DeMar go because DeMar is going to be a free agent and the Lakers will be calling for sure.
Really?
Yes, you have to consider that maybe this team isn't the team you need.
Yeah, maybe this. Right?
Like
isn't
you have
the
good
one.
Pieces. Like Damari Carroll should be back in time for the playoffs. Hopefully after the knee injury, you got Corey Joseph, who's great on the defensive end. Right. So there's players there. Bismack Biyombo's been fantastic for them.
Okay.
So it's going to be interesting to see how the NBA is going to play out in the next couple upcoming months.
All right, so NFL stars, actually, I watched the Grammys. Pretty interesting. Okay. NFL stars enjoyed a night at the Grammy Awards. This is the most sports players that have ever been at something that's non-related to sports. The Grammys were like full, like I think there was like 40 of them. There was tons of NFL players.
Good for the NFL.
Nothing spectacular to talk about. It's just it's funny that you at the Grammys you would see so many NFL superstars.
Yeah, well, there's a few in Toronto. Actually, Toronto was littered with stars over the weekend for the NBA All-Star. Yeah, can I add that the NBA All-Star does just a great job of putting together an event?
Yeah, so let's... I didn't write down the All-Star event, so we can talk about that right now.
Yeah, so basically Toronto, for the first time ever, the NBA All-Star game was hosted outside of America. It was in Canada for the first time ever.
Which they didn't use Drake, they used Sting, and Sting rocked the house.
Yeah, it was confusing because Sting's just not the typical demographic you would see. But that being said, he did a good job.
He rocked
The show on Sunday was, or the game on Sunday was typical All-Star fashion. Yeah. The West won, it was like 196. Russell Westbrook won MVP. He was close to breaking, I think, Isaiah Thomas's record or someone's record for most points in an All-Star game.
Oh, really?
Nobody let him. They started double-teaming him. and stuff nobody like that. Let him. And just like every All-Star game, the fourth quarter became a little tighter in defense. Yeah. But it wasn't about the game. It's not about the game. It's about the event that comes with it. If you look, they had on Friday night, they had the celebrity game.
Yeah, which was hilarious.
Yes, Kevin Hart coming out of retirement after winning the
MVP. He tied him, man.
Yeah.
No.
That was on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday. Sorry, pardon me. Yeah.
But he came out of retirement. He showed up and played. Anthony Anderson was there. Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah, it was awesome. Good times.
Win Butler, the singer of the Arcade Fire, he won MVP. And he got cut off trying to be political because the States has a very big election.
Exactly.
And he wanted to say something about it. And the girl just was like, nope, I ain't having none of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is a good decision. Kind of leave politics out of it for now. But I am.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, though, he tied.
Draymond Green. So yeah. So on Saturday,
I loved it.
Saturday was a skills competition, which was awesome. There's crazy amount of stars.
Who won the dunk, by the way?
I'll get there.
You're gonna get to it. Yeah. Don't forget.
There's crazy stars. Olivia Wilde. Everybody. Odell Beckham Jr. Speaking of NFL, was there.
Olivia Wilde's incredibly hot.
Vin Diesel. Yeah. I think Ludacris was there. You name it.
Ludacris.
Yeah. Like... You name it. Everyone was in Toronto for the All-Star game.
It was good times.
So yeah, they did the skills competition, and Kevin Hart came out and did a 3-point challenge with Draymond Green. And the conversation was, you have to beat Draymond Green in order to, like, win. You can't tie him. And so he ended up tying Draymond Green in the 3-point challenge.
Exactly.
And they then brought out a Kevin Hart-sized trophy just to add insult to injury. But yeah, it's funny because I was sitting with everyone, a bunch of friends, and we're all watching the skills competition. We're getting to a point where the 3-point competition, that was what I was looking forward to. I was most excited. And I know people always say the dunk contest is what it's all about. But the dunk contest hasn't been that good. So
until this year.
3-point competition, it was good. Splash Brothers went up in the final, and Klay Thompson beat Steph Curry. But the dunk contest was probably the best thing of the weekend.
Well, not the best, but very good.
No, I think it was the best thing of the weekend. Yeah. Zach LaVine and Gordon were going at it nonstop. They were doing
ridiculous dunks.
On first attempt. It wasn't even like they took a couple of attempts. Yeah. It was on one try. These guys were nailing these. Gordon took the ball off the mascot's head while sitting down in midair, put it underneath his legs, and dunked it.
That's craziness. Like
it was unbelievable.
So who ended up winning?
Zach LaVine won.
Well worth the win?
I don't know. I thought Gordon had the better dunks, but LaVine showed some serious power off his dunks.
Really?
Like he was jumping from about the free throw line.
So like a Jordan style.
Yeah, like he was flying out there.
That's amazing.
Like,
good stuff.
If man wasn't sure they could fly, just watch LaVine jump, because that guy was getting serious hang time.
Although you did make a comment right at the beginning of the show, and the best year for the slam dunk was when Vince Carter was the man.
I think this year was better.
You know why I disagree? Because I watched this year, and I watched that year. I watched it too. And it was that fight between Tracy McGrady and Carter. It was awesome. Classic. Was both Raptors, man.
Both Raptors are cousins, too.
Are they cousins?
Yeah, I believe they're cousins. It was great, but the dunks were just on another level. Like that one where he picks the ball off the mascot.
It was pretty insane.
Like, it was just amazing. But yeah, the NBA All-Star was great. Toronto did a very good job of hosting the event, even though it was probably the coldest weekend of the year in Toronto.
Minus 30 in Toronto. So
yeah, it was brutal.
We're going to skip the 12th point because I think it's not relevant to what we're talking about right now. But we are going to talk about Bosch, poor guy, dealing with blood clots that could eventually end his career.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate because he is a good player.
Yeah, well, he had a serious stint with the Raptors for a while there.
He went over to Miami.
Yeah. He won some championships with LeBron, Wade, and Bosch. It would be unfortunate to go because he missed out on the All-Star weekend too.
And he should have been there.
Yeah, he should have been there, but he was there. He couldn't play because of the blood clot scare. You never want to see this stuff like this happen. It happened to Pascal Dupuis from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yep.
So it's unfortunate, but hopefully he'll be back and doing what he does best.
Exactly. And we talked about this no more than 2 minutes ago, but it's got to be said again. Westbrook's relentlessness leads to MVP.
Yep.
This guy came out of the woodwork. Literally, 2-3 years ago, he was a nobody. Now he's a force to be reckoned with.
He was good coming out, but he kind of got into his own
the past couple of years.
Like everyone knew Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, and then they had James Harden at the time. That was the year OKC went to the final, but lost to Cleveland.
Yes, but he was good. Yeah, but in the past couple of years, he's fantastic. He's ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, between him and Kevin Durant, they've been Kevin amazing. Durant, yeah. I love Kevin Durant, by the way.
Who do you think's better than... do you think Durant's better than LeBron? Do you think anyone's better than LeBron?
Yeah, Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph Curry is the legend. They're was LeBron different. At the NBA All-Star game?
Yeah, of course he was.
Oh, because you never know.
It's funny, like, LeBron James, it's weird. Steph Curry's the face of the NBA right now. And it's weird because LeBron James is in the NBA.
LeBron James is the face.
I think people forget about how good LeBron is because he's been around for so long and he's been doing it for so long that now seeing other players come out like Durant and Curry winning the MVP and being fantastic, everyone's just like, oh yeah, LeBron's there, who cares? But LeBron is still unbelievable.
Well, it's just like
he's a beast and the guy just wins.
But it's just like 2 years ago when Kobe Bryant was in the All-Star game and everyone said, oh yeah, there's Kobe and there's LeBron. There's LeBron! Like, it's like, well, Kobe was just there. But see, now LeBron is going to get the recognition as a legendary player.
Yeah, of course.
When Steph Curry right now is getting one of those superstars of our generation.
Well, he's just... Man, Steph Curry's just on another level. No, he's ridiculously
good. Like, yeah, he's good.
He shoots the ball better than anyone I've ever seen. And, like, his form hasn't changed from when he was in a kid. Like, if you actually watch him shooting threes as a little kid in Toronto when Del Curry was still on the Raptors, to how he does now, his form is still the same. Like, it's incredible. Speaking of Kobe... Yeah, so it's his last All-Star game. It was a farewell to Kobe this weekend.
Everyone played very well. So.
Yeah, everyone was talking to him on the Friday night, the Friday when they were doing the media day.
Yep.
The crowd that was surrounding Kobe Bryant was insane because everyone wants to get a piece of him. You got to think he's our Michael Jordan. My Michael Jordan.
He's my Michael Jordan,
I've always compared LeBron. I'm like, he's no Kobe. 5 championships. Like, the guy is just...
He's a legend. Amazing. Kobe goes under the category of Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he's incredible.
Now, one thing that I noticed about Kobe is that he was the last, for what I heard anyway from analysts that were there, he was the last player to leave the Rogers Center.
Yeah, of course. He wants to soak it all in. Cause
it was awesome.
I think...
He's not full of himself.
I think people forget or they lose track that being an All-Star is a big honor. Right? Like, these guys sit in the league and they're very good, and to be named an All-Star, it's a pretty special thing.
You're the best in the league.
You gotta think, John Scott, look what it meant to in the NHL, like, look what it meant to one player.
No, but see, the NBA doesn't do that. John Scott is not an All-Star.
No, because the fans don't really vote, but the point I'm getting at is one player got to go experience that weekend with among the best players in the NHL, and he loved it. He says it was the highlight of his career, one of the greatest moments of his life.
But man, you and I are gonna disagree again. Because I think if you're an All-Star, the name All-Star should mean you're looking at the stats, you're looking at his players.
Okay, granted, you know what I mean? But then why wasn't Sidney Crosby there?
Because Sidney Crosby's stats are not that great.
And that's my point. The NBA All-Star game doesn't rate, and these players tend to forget. Like you said, Kobe Bryant didn't leave. He was one of the last to leave, and I said because he was soaking it all up. Because these are important. People in the NHL and other sports take for granted what it means to be an All-Star. And that's why I use John Scott as a comparison, because he isn't an All-Star, but he got to experience it, and it was one of the greatest moments of his career.
Fair enough.
So guys like Kobe, he gets it. He understands that. This is my last run. I'm never going to be considered an All-Star. I'm never going to have to do the weekend again. I'm never going to get to experience this again. Because it's a special thing.
He's been in a lot of All-Star games.
Of course. But it's a testament to how good he is, right?
Now, speaking of a testament to greatness... We missed this last episode because we weren't here, but the Broncos win the Super Bowl.
Did they ever?
Not only did they win it, but Manning won essentially his last Super Bowl.
Well, so we hope. He hasn't fully retired.
He's going to retire. Like, why would you continue playing if you've basically won it all now?
Yeah, he should retire.
No. Manning is the greatest player, quarterback of all time.
No.
I say yes.
No.
Out of favoritism. Yahoo sports analysts say yes.
No.
From analytics.
No.
Now, what is your take on it? Do you think Brady is better?
100%.
No, don't go 100%.
100%, 4 championships.
How many does Manning have? I think 2. 3?
2.
No. And when he was with the Colts, he won 2.
He won 1 with the Colts, and then he finally won a second one.
Can we look that up?
I can guarantee you it.
Can we look it up?
Yeah, look it up. And the greatest quarterback of all time isn't Brady.
Yeah, no, it's
Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. Four no, I'm talking about our generation.
Brady.
Yeah, I disagree.
I go Brady. I get like Peyton Manning had statistical advantage, especially regular
season. He's a legend in
NFL. He's older than Brady, by the way. And
yeah, much older.
Yeah, but again, how many more Super Bowls? Four Super Bowls, Brady. He's elite class.
Check it out. While I talk about this, you check it out.
Yeah.
Now, if we're talking about greatness.
Super Bowl champion.
Who?
Peyton Manning. Two? He won it twice.
And Brady?
Four.
For sure?
Yeah.
Okay, good. It doesn't mean shit. Either way, I still like Manning. You still like Brady.
I love Manning. I love
Peyton Manning. Oh, okay, yeah, you love Manning. Okay.
But if you're asking me who I think the best quarterback of our generation is, all right. I got to say Brady, right?
Out of our generation, we disagree on who. But now, in all time, I think we can both agree Joe Montana was the man. He's the Michael Jordan of the NFL.
Yeah, he was great. He was one of the best quarterbacks of all time, if not the best.
Exactly.
Right? It's all opinion-based, and it's all biased. The thing is, especially with football, they always look at championships. It's no different than Dan Marino. Dan Marino was a great quarterback, never won a Super Bowl. So he always has that asterisk beside his name. He was the greatest quarterback to never win the Super Bowl. Look at NBA. What do they talk about? How many championships does LeBron have? Well, Kobe has five. Jordan has six. Who's the best player? Now, Jordan obviously is the best player of all time. But people think Magic Johnson is. They're not wrong for their opinion.
That's exactly right, yeah. Right? I do believe he is. You're entitled to it. Well, it's like Wayne Gretzky, right? I don't know how many Stanley Cup wins he has.
He has five, I think.
Okay. But it can easily be argued that, you know, Sidney Crosby is technically the best.
Because the game is a different game. You could say Mario Lemieux is even better.
Mario Lemieux, exactly.
He had cancer and his career was cut short.
Exactly.
So it's not that...
Cool.
Like, yes, statistics will say something. Exactly. It doesn't necessarily mean it's fact.
Okay. Now,
wait, it kind of does, but...
It does mean it's fact. It's your opinion. So now this is funny enough. It's not funny, but it's something that I think we should address. Mexican women's soccer to miss its third straight Olympics. Now, also keep in mind that the Mexican men World Cup team is borderline already on the brink of not qualifying for the World Cup. So I don't know what the hell is going on with Mexico right now, but they've got to get their shit together because something is going on.
Transition, I hope.
The women's soccer, they were arguably one of the best soccer teams in the world. Now they've missed three Olympics.
It happens. Your talent dries up. You're not developing the same players. It changes. There's ebbs and flows all the time. Canada's going to qualify for the Olympics. The women's team. The States will qualify. No, Canada's on its way.
Are they?
Yeah. I think they're like one win away from
qualifying. Okay, so they're going to do it. All right.
Yeah. They just beat a team 10-0 the other day. Like, and I think the States beat Trinidad and Tobago or something like that. Like 12-0.
Let's see. That's... Okay. So now Ronaldo, of course, he always has to be in the news. He says, it's business only with Benzema and Bale, no Tepes.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Well, you don't really want to say that. Because now you're basically saying, well, I don't want to talk to you, but I will talk to them. It's kind of like when you were in high school.
No, you got to remember the context. The context was a reporter asked him about Barcelona and how they have a very lovey, seems very lovey.
Yeah, everybody loves each other. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And he was asked about that. And he said, it doesn't need to be that way to be successful. It matters about what's on the pitch. And he had referenced that at United, Paul Scholes, Ryan Giggs, and people would come in and they'd only say good morning and good evening to each other, but they were formidable on the pitch. Now, I don't disagree with what you're saying.
I disagree. You should be friends off the pitch. On the pitch is a different story.
I'm sure they get along and they're friendly with each other when they're at work.
Comment like that is fucked, though.
I'm sure.
Or it's effed, anyway.
I'm sure they get together and they get along very well when they're outside of soccer. But I guess what he's saying is, I don't have to hang out with them every night. I don't need them to come over for dinner with me in order. And
I don't think that's what they're getting at.
But that's what he was saying. He was basically saying, I don't need to spend all day with them and be best friends with them. Look at a lot of players, when they go home, they're not spending every day with their teammates.
I completely understand. Right? The point is that saying it's a business only with Benzema and Bale is like saying, I like you on the pitch, but I don't want to know you off the pitch. Now, doesn't that basically say, you know what, you're a bit of a problematic person?
No, not necessarily.
Why can't you just why do you have to... This is my thing about Ronaldo. Why do you got to make a comment like that?
Because you're getting compared to a team. So, for instance, you're getting compared to your rivals.
Yes.
Your main rivals, and they're saying, well, look at them. Everything's sunshine and rainbows with them. And he's trying to say, well, just because they're that way doesn't mean it has to be that way. Just because they're good and everything, they make it seem like everything's lovey-dovey, doesn't mean that I and Real Madrid have to be that way. We can be different, and it's okay to be different. You can't take it as Ronaldo the bad guy isn't friendly with anyone. All he's saying is, I don't need to be around them outside of soccer.
I get it.
As long as we get along at work and we're good on the pitch, that's what matters most, because what we're doing outside of soccer,
nobody cares about.
And I'm sure Messi and Suarez and Neymar aren't at each other's houses 24/7.
I highly doubt it.
Plus being at soccer together at the football pitch all day.
True, but I want to say one thing that I didn't add here. Did you see the penalty kick that Messi did?
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's amazing the intelligence that Messi had to do that.
It's been done before.
Although, I don't understand the purpose of it. I understand that Suarez was looking for his third goal, but I just don't understand what the purpose was.
So apparently, Neymar came out and said the actual pass was intended for him, but Suarez got in the way and cut it off and took the pass.
Okay.
Take that as you will, be what it
so
may.
So he's upset about it?
No, but he just came out and said that. Ronaldo, again, in the news, was asked why. He said he knew why he did it, but he won't tell. And the reason is because Ronaldo's leading the goal scoring race in Spain.
Yeah.
Suarez is the next closest player. So to get Suarez closer.
Oh my god.
Yes, I know. It's ridiculous and probably not the reason, because Neymar came out and said it was actually intended for me.
Now, do you know why Neymar said that? What team does Neymar play for?
Barcelona.
So he's trying to cover up the fact that Messi gave Suarez the ball to give Suarez a better chance to be Ronaldo.
He said that before. He said this before Ronaldo came out in the press conference and said what he said. They asked.
That's a lot of he said.
That's all it is. That's soccer. Right? Like, and journalists are
they
the
eat
worst
it up, yeah.
Because what happens is someone will say something and then they'll write about it and they will change the wording of it to make it sound a certain way and change it so that it seems a certain way than what it really is. And things get taken out of context. Especially with media the way it is today, with clickbait, where they'll post a headline that says something and the article actually has nothing to do with it. It's just to get you to click and like the article.
Okay.
So, be what you may, that penalty was awesome.
It was awesome.
And he could have scored his 300th goal on that penalty if he scored. That was the best thing about it.
Okay. But he'll get to his 300th.
Oh, no, he got to his 300th goal. That's not an issue.
All right. This is not very big news, but just something I want to address. It's the MLS. Whitecaps acquire F. Perez from FC Dallas.
Forward Perez. Good for them.
Which I didn't even know Perez was playing in Dallas, but all right. Yeah. Now, hilarious. This should be a comical joke. Blatter at FIFA appealing his 8-year ban. Appealing what? Like, this is all guilt, and now it's all remorse.
I don't want to sit and spend time talking about
this because it's ridiculous. Okay, we both know that Blatter's
he's obviously guilty, and Platini's no better.
Okay. So now, Barcelona and Luis Suarez lead AP Global Football 10.
Yeah, well, Suarez has been fantastic. Neymar, Messi, and Suarez are just on another wavelength together. They're something special. They're incredible. And Suarez has been fantastic.
Is Atletico still first?
No, Barcelona is in first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's this last one?
Jolovic becomes latest footballer to leave Europe for China. Yeah, China's just throwing money around. Lavezzi's leaving to China too.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, this is very good for the Chinese Soccer League, because now they're getting this incredible talent to teach their players how to play better.
Yeah.
And essentially, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, it's just money. These players are just leaving for money. They're going
to, obviously. Why do you think a lot of them went to...
Lavezzi's getting older. He's not going to be playing as much, especially because you have a young lad like Di Maria on the team sheet.
Of course. So, Cannavaro went to Saudi Arabia for a while to play, and he got like a ton load of money. So why not?
Exactly.
Yahoo Sports analysts say Mourinho will tank on Man U. I agree. I told you.
He's going to tank on them?
They say that it's quoted. I didn't quote it, but it's quoted. Yahoo Sports analyst, I can get you the name, says Mourinho will tank on Man U.
So he won't go?
If they acquire him, they say he's going to tank.
So, this is what I love about football. I love, like, there's nothing more...
Analysts like to stir it up.
Yeah, so they're saying that he's going to tank on them, but yet every other report under the sun says there's already been an agreement, a verbal agreement that Mourinho has agreed to join
United. No, that's not what they're saying. What they're saying is when they play, If at all, at the end of the day, he goes to Man U.
Yeah.
Yahoo Sports analysts say that the way Mourinho is and the way that the Premier League is, he's going to tank on Man U.
I don't see it.
I still say, man. I really do.
One bad term as a coach and everyone loses their mind and thinks you can't coach.
I don't say he had one bad term. What I say is, and you and I have been at this for every episode, but I just want to say it one more time. I think he's a brilliant coach. But I don't think that he's a brilliant coach for the Premier League.
I don't know how anyone can say that when he just won the Premier League last season. Like, he just won it.
But it's then he did.
He won two titles in one season.
Riddle me this. No one can deny the fact that he's a very good, you know, winner in the Premier League. But no one can argue the fact that you go from winning to being absolutely disgusting the next season. It's impossible. It's impossible to go that drastic.
It's not, though, because he did it. And Gus Hiddink hasn't done much better since joining. Chelsea lost to PSG. They've had uninspiring outings. They won one big game. They drew 1-1 with
United. We're talking about Mourinho. And Mourinho, a coach like him, unless they literally sell their entire team that they won with, which they didn't, you cannot go from winning to now being beyond terrible.
They also weren't. He wasn't even able to bring anyone. He knows Terry's getting older. He couldn't bring in John Terry, a replacement for John Terry, like John Stones, like he wanted. The only player he could bring in was Falcao on a loan. Abramovich didn't let him buy anyone. Go listen to the interview Mourinho had about a couple weeks ago, where he talks about how you change the mentality from a winner to being hungry again. And he says one of the things you need to do is you need to bring in a player, a big name, to create instability in the team and make players hungry and feel threatened so that they're not comfortable. Where was Hazard been all year? Where's Pedro been all year? Where's Fabregas been all
year? Where have they been?
Nowhere. Even with Gus Hiddink, they haven't shown up. So you can't just point the blame all at Mourinho.
No, I never said that. What I'm saying is, as a coach, you have to take the steering wheel of this ship and say, if we're going down, we're going down without a fight. The problem is they didn't show any goddamn fight. It looks like they just hit that iceberg and they just sank. Okay,
granted, but there's only so much you can do. Here's a good example. The Leafs have Babcock, right?
Yeah.
Great coach. One of the best coaches in the NHL, if not the best coach. The Leafs are still dead last.
Wait.
Hold on. Okay. The players,
I have an argument on that.
Okay, the players can only do so much. Yes, Babcock has improved certain things, but at some point, the players have to do their job.
Okay.
When players like Fabregas, players like Ivanovic, and your Hazards and your Pedros aren't performing well, you can't just say it's all the coach's fault. Now, of course, the coach is the fall guy, but at some point, the players have to pull up their socks and do something about it. And Hazard apologized to Mourinho.
Okay, you're right, and I agree with you. On my rebuttal on that, and I have to appeal this comment that you made. It's very hard to understand your terminology when you're saying they brought in Babcock and, you know, they're not doing well. But I want you to remember something. Before Babcock came, the Leafs were terrible. So it's not like they were at a superstar level and then Babcock came in, now they're terrible.
No.
Because Mourinho had a superstar team and then all of a sudden they were the worst.
Well, not if you actually pay attention to two things. The Babcock thing is he's improved the team, but he doesn't have the players to get him. So the coach can only take you so far is my point. The other thing with last season, they started brilliantly. From the start of the Premier League, Chelsea looked to be the team to beat. They were fantastic for the first 4 months out of the season. Then, as the winter break happened, they started to pick up a lot of injuries. They didn't have depth in the forward position. They were looking a lot lackluster. And we remember on the show, we had talked about it, that they weren't as inspired and they weren't the same team. Now, and he still got them to be championships. He won two trophies with them. He did what he needed to do. The problem was, come this season, the team wasn't there.
So why didn't the management go to him and say, what do we need to do to turn this team around?
Money.
Because okay, why didn't they fork it over?
What is Abramovich's main resource?
Yeah, what's his problem?
Oil.
Okay.
Oil's taking a shit-kicking in the market right now.
Wait. The amount of money it would require to turn Chelsea around would be a drop in the pond for him. That's a very stupid reason for him not to give money.
It's 100% not a stupid reason.
It is, because we're talking about, what, maybe total $200 million.
So if you're the owner of a club, and which he is, owns Chelsea, okay? Yes. Your operations cost X amount of dollars.
Yes.
Then you have to spend X more now because you need to buy more players, more salary, but your main income isn't doing well. You're not going to justify, you can't justify spending the funds. They didn't have the funds to throw around this year. And that's why they were selling players like Lukaku, and they weren't able to buy anyone. And Mourinho wanted to buy. He wanted to buy. That's why they were saying when he subbed John Terry out, it was assigned to Abramovich, buy me people. I need players, because he didn't have the squad. And he knew it. Mourinho is not a dumb coach. The guy is very, very smart.
I don't know. You have to think about it. How
if
to
your,
put it,
if
man.
Your income is nowhere near as much as your outcome, you're not going to spend, especially if you have to spend more. You don't want to go into massive debt for it.
But Matt, you have to understand the net worth of Abramovich is in the $8 to $9 billion.
Yes.
Now,
operation. Yes, but you can't look at just
that's his net worth. No, that's his net worth. Yeah. His operations is close to $150 billion. That's his net. That's his growing, you know, margins.
Yes, and he makes money.
So what I'm saying is, if he invested in a team like Chelsea, and let's say an average every year he has to spend between $150 to $200 million. Okay, that's the average. This year he's got to figure something out because the team is doing very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you think the dumbest move to do is to take your coach and say, you're gone? Wouldn't that be the dumbest idea?
No, because you have to work with what you got. And if they don't have the funds and you can't be spending the money and you're not getting the results, well, what are you going to do? You're going to fire your coach, bring in another coach, and hopefully he will inspire the players to pick it up and play better. Yeah, it's like baseball.
A coach like Mourinho can't turn it around, why would some other coach be able to turn it around?
Because it sends a message to the players, because they're stubborn. Players are spoiled. They're stubborn and spoiled, and they think that they're invincible and nothing can be done to them and nothing can happen. So you fire the coach, and then they feel responsible because they realize that, hey, we were the ones that weren't performing. Because, again, the coach can do only so much. A coach will be able to put together a game plan and show you tactics and try to get you to understand how you want to play and need to play. But at the end of the day, as the player, have to go out and perform and do these things. You're not going to just sit there and say, okay, well, he told me this, so we're going to win. It doesn't work that way. You have to apply what he's telling you.
Well, okay. How about we leave it like this? Now, are they any closer to him going to Manchester United?
If not now, then I don't... Then no, I guess.
What do you mean, if not now?
Well, they just lost on the weekend to Southampton. Or Sunderland, I think it was. They lost 2-1 or 3-1 to Sunderland.
What does that have to do with Mourinho?
Well, LVG's picking up loss after loss. So if he's not anywhere closer now, then I don't know if he ever will be. Because right now would be the time to fire LVG and bring in Mourinho. Or at least announce that this is the end of LVG's term at the end of this year and we'll have a new coach in Mourinho. Just get it done and finalized.
Okay. Well, because
you can do that.
I hope it does happen.
Right? No different than Pep Guardiola. Pep Guardiola is already signed as City's manager. He's still coaching Bayern Munich.
But at the end of the season, he's switching.
Exactly. And you could just say, we're terminating LVG by the end of this year, and Mourinho will be the new manager. And just get it over and done with.
Interesting.
And
say
it. Okay. You don't need to not beat around the bush. Just come out and say it. LVG is pretty much aware.
Did Chelsea have to pay Mourinho's salary when they fired him?
No, absolutely, because it's a contract.
So now, what happens when he goes to Man U? How's that contract going to be?
He's still getting paid by Chelsea.
Really?
Yes. You signed a contract. You have to...
How many more years does he have with Chelsea that they still have to pay?
However, I'm not sure the exact term, but whatever your contract is, when you're fired, you're still getting paid. Like, Randy Carlyle is still getting paid by the Leafs.
Oh my god.
That's how it works. You have a contract.
So you're telling me that Mourinho can get hired by Man U and still get paid by Chelsea?
Yeah. He'll get
paid. And get paid by Man U?
Yeah. Why not? Not going to work for free.
Because I thought that Man U would take the contract.
No. He's still getting
paid.
That's
only if it was a transfer, but it's not a transfer. No. And coaches don't get transferred.
They don't get transferred.
They just either get fired or hired.
Yeah. So if you sign a 6-year contract, you're fired, and your third year, you still have 3 years remaining on that contract that they still have to pay you.
Insane.
It's not like that's why it's the contracts are always guaranteed. So NFL, they don't guarantee you your contract.
So if you're firing, you're losing it.
You sign a contract. Players, it'll be a 5-year contract, 2 years guaranteed money. The last three, if you continue to play and we keep you, you'll get that money.
But at any point, you don't get it.
At any point, when if we decide to fire you or ship you off and say you're no longer on the team, you're not guaranteed that money. So Joe Flacco, when he won the Super Bowl, he scored a massive contract, and I think it was like 5 years was guaranteed, or some number of such was guaranteed. So regardless of what happens to Joe Flacco, he was guaranteed X amount of money. So in soccer and hockey with coaches, you sign a contract, this is your salary, you are guaranteed that.
So
regardless of what happens.
So Ronaldo was on a 10-year or 8-year, however long was it, for like $100 million with Real Madrid. Let's say by the second year he was playing absolutely terrible, or he busted his leg and he could no longer play anymore. Does that mean Real Madrid would still have to pay him the whole thing?
Yeah. If they just said, we're done, you're not going to play no more, you're fired kind of thing, they terminate, they don't allow him to play because he's injured, they still have to pay him. The only time it changes is when you sell the player. So
yeah. But if you don't sell him, you still kind of still have to pay him.
But what they do that is they put clause in the contract so that you have to buy him out
of
his contract. You have to buy out that player to be able to talk to him and sign him. So we have to offer us $80 million, plus you have to buy out a clause, which is $100 million. So you're spending $180 million just to get him. Then you have to pay his salary.
Fair enough. Well, we hope that you guys enjoyed our banter, because Matt and I get very heated when it comes to... Not heated, but we get, you know, very...
No, we discuss.
We discuss interesting matters that I think it's going to change the way we look at soccer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because at the end of the day, no matter if it's a good or bad, you know, transfer or hire from Mourinho, it's going to make for good soccer.
Yeah, absolutely.
No matter how you look at it. So, talkofthegame.podomatic.com. What is it? Talkofthegame2 on Twitter. Check us out on iTunes. Talkofthegame@gmail.com. Hit us up. Love us. Show us your love, and we'll show it to you back. And have yourself a wonderful week. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.